Hello again and welcome back to Straight Talk, the program where we give you straight answers to the questions and challenges you face every day at your dealership. I am your host, David Lewis, and this is part four of a 10-part series on overcoming objections. On today's show, I'll present some common objection responses and the problems with those responses. Everyone who sells for a living has to face objections from their customers. If you've already been following the first three parts of this series, you know what an objection is and why customers object in the first place. The retail car business is competitive in nature, and because of this, there will always be customers who object to your offer. They know there is always someone else who will compete for their business if it means they can make the sale instead of you. Even though most competitors of the same brand will have relatively the same cars in their lot, there are other things to negotiate that will give them a possibility of taking the customer away from you by offering them something that is more appealing to them or at just a lower price. So, what is the solution to this dilemma? Once you have them in your office and are ready to seal the deal, make sure you handle their objections in a way that will satisfy them and get them to drive away in their new car that very day. Here are some common objections, the responses most car salespeople give, and what I see wrong with those responses. The first objection, the payment is too high, is probably the most often stated objections customers have. Here are some common responses to this objection and the problem I see with these responses. First, the old, if I could, would you? This is probably the most common response salespeople give to the payment objection. It is not based on logic or reason, but based on price alone and meant to apply pressure on the customer to get them to make a commitment to buy if you will agree to their price. Another common response to the payment objection is, what is your budget? And this response breaks sales rule number one, which is never ask a question that could result in a lie. What makes you think the customer is going to give you a true number if he or she is sure you'll adjust everything to get him or her where they want to be on the car they like? Why should they? Why would you? And then once they give a number, most are trained to follow up with this question. Up to? And then? Not to exceed? Have you ever truly watched the reaction on a customer's face when using this process? It is a posture of frustration and anger. Another common response is, would you like to look at something less expensive? Now, who wants to go back out and start this process all over again? The funny thing is, neither of you do. The customer found a car they loved. They proved that with their objection. Their objection of the payment is too high is a buying objection. Another common objection is, you're not giving me enough for my trade. And here are some common responses salespeople often give to this objection that I do not agree with. First is, what did you think your trade was worth? This response is bound to bring you an answer you do not want to hear. What are they basing their objection on? Would that not be a better place to start? Of course it would. Asking them how much they want puts you in a place where you must defend your own offer against an amount in their mind that may have nothing to do with the real value of their trade. Sometimes the customer will state that another dealership offered them more. And then we fall into the trap and ask them, so, how much did the other dealership offer you? Not only will they lie with their answer, but now you have backed them into a corner that they will continue to defend. A third common response to the trade in question is, let me show you some issues with your trade that have created such a low value. This response can be taken as an insult by the customer and can very easily put them in a defensive posture that can be difficult for you to recover from. Avoid the use of negative statements to pressure the customer to come around to your way of thinking. Another common response to the trade objection might be, is it really the payment that is of concern or the trade value? To me, this appears that you are questioning the customer's motives or integrity and makes it sound like you are accusing them of being disingenuous or not being forthright about their concerns. The last common objection for most is the kiss of death when the customer says, I want to go home and think about it. And then most salespeople respond with, what is it you want to think about? This response could come across as a challenge to some customers and very offensive. In a way, it is like saying, I have told you all you need to know. What else do you need to make your decision? Another common response to this objection is what we call the is it response. You know, is it me? Is it the car? Is it the dealership? Is it the price? This can sound to the customer like whining or a cry for pity, as though you're pleading for them to buy the car or you have failed them. This "is it" response is anything but effective or inspiring. Here is yet another common response salespeople use for "I want to go home and think about it." They state, "If I could get you a better price, would you buy it today?" And that one is not much different from "if I could, would you?" And finally, there is the disrespectful comment when after the customer states they want to go home and think about it, and the salesperson responds with, "So, is there anyone else involved in the buying decision?" This can be a last-ditch effort to try to make the person feel guilty for not mentioning it before. Some salespeople even suggest they call that person and get them to come down now so they can finish the deal. These kinds of objection responses have been used for decades in this business. In my opinion, they reinforce the negative perception that car salespeople rely on pressure statements to control the customer, a thing which customers basically despise. You cannot use these kinds of objection responses and expect your customer to be inspired by you as being unique and different. You just sound like every other car salesperson out there. This will do nothing to set you apart from the criticism that most people have about people in our business. By taking the time to develop logical and reasonable responses to these common customer objections, you will find they become natural to you and effective for diffusing the fears and negative outcomes that follow a hasty response to objections. So over the next 5 weeks, we will look more specifically at how to do that, and how learning to respond to objections properly can inspire your customers and earn their confidence in you as their trusted car salesperson for life. Well, that's all the time we have for today. As always, thanks for watching as we study the important part that effective objection responses make in your ability to close more deals and earn higher grosses. And if you would like a copy of my books, as always, just email me at dlewis@davidlewis.com, and I'll be glad to send them out to you right away. And they are complimentary, no charge. So good luck, everyone, and I'll see you all next week.